The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
It definitely is a strange case, the case of Richard Allen, especially when you start going down the Odinist road and all of those arguments where you actually do have guards that were practicing Odinism. I mean, there's things on their Facebook pages. There's things publicly known. They have patches, or they did have patches. They have tattoos. And that's what was left at the crime scene, though, that what they believed to be what looks like an Odinist ritual. Richard Allen doesn't have any of that. There's no history of him being an Odinist. There's no, he didn't have patches. He didn't have tattoos. He didn't, as far as we know, as of right now, and this is why we have trials, so we can pull all this out. Yeah. There's no weird search history or anything of that nature. I think we would have heard some of these things by now. We haven't seen the probable cause affidavit, but again, there is nothing that connects him to that scene when it we're looking at the Odinist connection. There's other people that certainly seem to be connected, but not him, which is just bizarre.
Yeah, all of it is bizarre. The crimes were bizarre. His deterioration is unusual, you know, to the extent he's deteriorated in that way. Having guards working in a prison system who can wear patches like that on their uniforms, that's bizarre. It's just layer and layer of weird with this case.
What would spark someone to make a false confession in a case like this?
Well, you know, we have a documented history of several hundred people who made false confessions and then were found years later to be completely innocent. Usually that happens during aggressive or coercive police interrogation. Yeah. you know, where they're pressured or they're promised, if you just confess, this will all go away. Usually it's under those circumstances. When it's not under that circumstance, usually, as I mentioned, it's a person who's psychotic and they've had a break with reality. And so they're living this fantasy or hearing voices that are telling them they did it or something like that, which is always possible here.
But when you're in a box for all that time and from what we've heard, you know, take it for what it is, of stories of him being taunted by the guards and just harassed endlessly. I mean, it's torture, basically, which I just find shocking that it's just like, yep, that's what happens there. Nothing's done about it. I could see where that would take place. But we're talking not just like one confession. We're talking 60 confessions to different people. Yeah. How often is that the case? I don't know where that falls in terms of likelihood of being legitimate or not when you go to that number of confessions to different individuals at different points in time.
Well, it's certainly relevant, and it's something I would take a close look at. But at the same time, is this person grossly psychotic when they're making these kind of confessions? And that, to me, is what puts a big question mark on it. Mm-hmm.
Because now he's saying, I was nuts. I was psychotic at that time when I was saying those things. I was under such stress. I do not admit to doing these sort of things. I don't know. It's a weird case where we look at this, and I do wonder sometimes, because of the circumstances and the way he was treated, are we looking at him as innocent? When maybe he's not, or more likely innocent than he's not, simply because of the extenuating circumstances. I mean, I think same thing with the Karen Reed case in a lot of ways, where because of bad behavior after the fact by the authorities, it really, you know, makes you feel bad for the individual, whether they did it or not. Like, you can't treat somebody the way that Richard Allen has been treated.
Yeah, definitely. That prison needs to be cleaned up. There's just so much that we've heard about, and, you know, who knows what we haven't heard about that is just wrong and not ethical behavior.
It's going to be very fascinating. Let me ask you more question about, you know, the 60 plus confessions. Does it matter who they confess to in terms of legitimacy? Does it ever seem to have a bit more weight if it's to a family member or if it's to a guard, or if it's a police interrogation or something of that nature?
That's a really good question. And, you know, would a person be more apt, perhaps, to confess to a family member? They feel a greater bond with them. They feel a sense of closeness. I don't know I can say definitively that they would be more apt to do that, but that's certainly possible.
Yeah. And that, I guess he's confessed to almost everybody that would listen, it seems, around him. So it'll be fascinating.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.